Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to another interview edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader, as always, here with two interviews for you on this day. As you've read the description already, you know that we're going to be joined by player Brandon Jackson. He's a defensive end for the Oakland Raiders. We visited with him before the draft this year, and now we're revisiting him now that he's on the practice squad out in Oakland, and talk to him a little bit about that. Also be joined by Doug Norrie of DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. It's a mouthful. You can always just type in DFRS, and that will... No, I'm sorry, DFSR. See, even I get mixed up from time to time, and I've got it sitting right in front of my face. DFSR.com, DailyFantasySportsRankings.com. And we'll be talking to him about how I crushed him in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. Hey, if you want to get in touch with us, please do. Send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. You can tweet us at NFU Podcast. And of course, all of our previews are available at facebook.com/NFU Podcast. Of course, if you're on Facebook, just type in Next Fan Up. Our page will pop right up. Lots of great things coming to you today. Let's get started with our first interview. All right, this is a player that we visited right before the draft. He's from Texas Tech. He is a rookie on the Oakland Raiders defensive end, Brandon Jackson. Brandon, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So pleased to hear that you caught on with the team. We didn't get to hear your name on draft day, but you ended up in Oakland. How's Oakland been so far for you?
Oakland's been great. You know, it gave me an opportunity. That's all I ever asked for. I'm just out here trying to make the best of it. Each day I get out there and practice.
Excellent. Well, you know, from the fans' perspective, I don't know if a lot of fans truly understand what it means to be on the practice squad. Can you explain what that means for the fans?
It's really as it is. You practice every day. You compete against the starters. You compete against guys, other guys on the practice squad. And your main goal is to make yourself available for whatever team may need you. Someone may go down. Someone may not play as good. And you just got to continuously work and outwork the people ahead of you right now. So it's a constant grind, and it reminds you a lot of going into college, just trying to earn your way and earn your respect amongst your peers.
Nice. How has the competition been during practices? What's that like? Are you sort of acting as a scout player? Are you looking at the other team, and are you JJ Watt out on the field?
Yeah. I gotta get my JJ Watt on. You know, you give them a look for whatever they need. If they have a certain player they want you to emulate and practice the way that he plays, or practice plays the way he plays, you'll do that. They may ask you to stand in and play a position you don't play just to get a good look. And it's all about energy and effort when you're on the practice squad. And like I said, make yourself available and make yourself useful.
You know, there's a lot of expectations for your team going into this year. A lot of people, including myself, really like the chances of the Oakland Raiders when it comes to the end of the season. You know, what are the thoughts around the team? Is that something that guys are talking about, or is it that old cliche, one game at a time?
It's definitely been one game at a time. You can't deny that we have heard the buzz around the league and around different communities about how good we can be. But there's a great group of leaders in that locker room with Derek Carr and Khalil Mack, who just constantly tell you guys, you know, that right now you ain't done enough to enjoy the hype and enjoy what people are saying about you. You got to go out there and prove them right, and prove our fans right, and bring the city of Oakland back something special.
Is Khalil Mack noticeably better than everybody else on that field, or is that just something we see on TV?
Like, Khalil Mack is as advertised. I mean, he's the best player I've seen thus far. Sometimes he just does plays, looks so natural, and it just looks so easy to him. And I go out there and try to emulate exactly what he did, and it just doesn't come as easy for me. It's a great person to be around, a great person to learn from.
with the NFL trying to reduce the number of kickoffs, you know, we've got the new kickoff rule, the touchback, the ball comes out to the 25. Do you find it's a little bit more difficult to make that impact to get on that team on special teams?
Absolutely not. The thing about NFL is that it's coaches love to say that it's not fair. It's not equal, but it's fair. So you'll always get a chance. Reducing the amount of kickoffs, I don't ever believe that the kickoffs will be taken permanently out of the game. However, you still got punts, which are getting used more and more with the greater the punters are, and you got punt returns, things like that. So special teams are always going to be part of the game. And kickoff, I mean, that was never really my specialty anyway, so I'm just glad they still have punt and punt return on there for me to try to earn a spot.
There you go. Have you met any of the Raiders legends around the camp or even at training camp? Seems like there's a lot of Hall of Fame type guys that still hang out with the squad.
Absolutely. I got to meet Willie Brown. He's at practice every day at every game. Travels with us on a plane. Got to meet Howie Long. That was really interesting. Just talk to him and pick his brain and figure out what he's been up to in recent years. Who else have I met? Coach Rod Woodson. He's on the team. He's a part of the staff, things like that. So that's really been it. I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting Charles Woodson someday. But until then, I guess this is all that's all I've encountered thus far.
I'm sure Charles will be around at some point, but I know he's busy in Bristol at ESPN now, so you never know.
Yeah.
How big of a difference is there from your training facility to the O.co stadium? A lot of people say that Oakland stadium is probably one of the most outdated stadiums in the league right now. Is it really a huge difference between the two places?
Honestly, it's just, I don't look at it like that. There's a huge difference because you go to that stadium and the history behind it, just the feel you get just walking through the tunnel and entering that field and playing along that dirt, it's just something special. So I don't think no one a part of the organization ever really thinks about it being outdated. It's just seasoned and just the way we like it.
There's another story today about the Las Vegas situation. Is that something that the players let creep in at all? Do they talk about, the team potentially moving next season?
To be honest with you, that's never even been talked about, at least not around me. All I ever hear is that, this is Oakland, this is town business, this is where the Raiders want to be. We just echo those thoughts because, we're all about being where your feet are, being in the present.
I love it. Well, I know the people in the black hole are going to appreciate hearing that, and I'm sure the people in the black hole are going to be big fans of yours as soon as you get a chance to step out on that field. We're here all rooting for you at Next Fan Up, and can't wait to see you make that debut on the NFL field. Thanks for joining us again, Brandon.
Thank you very much for having me.
There goes Brandon Jackson. We are really pulling for him here at Next Fan Up, along with all the guys that we talked to before the draft, including Jarrell Presley and Russell Hansborough. Russell is on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers practice squad currently. So we're pulling for those guys. We want to see those guys succeed. Hey, speaking of succeeding, perhaps you've been following our picks, which we give you every Thursday during our preview show. And if you are, then you might also want to, maybe make a little money on some of those picks. And you can do so by going to betdsi.com. And if you use our promo code FANUP10, you're going to get a free $10 just to try the service. And that's using that promo code FANUP10. You also get a 100% bonus on your first deposit. Be nice to throw in $100. Come on, BetDSI. We want an extra $100, but no, we're going to give you 100% bonus on your first deposit plus that free $10 using our promo code. They are a top-rated business. They have been around for over 20 years now. It's very safe to play. They have fast payment of winnings and, of course, great customer service if you ever have any problems. Hundreds of NFL wagers, including wagers on the elections. Remember, vote none of the above in the upcoming elections. It is Trump versus Clinton, though. You can bet on who will win the presidential election coming up in November. But of course, we are endorsing none of the above. So go ahead to betdsi.com. Use our promo code FANUP10. Get that free $10. Get that 100% bonus on your first deposit and have fun. And of course, we only encourage gambling responsibly. And so I welcome in my latest victim in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League. It is Doug Norrie from Team DFSR. Doug, what happened?
I mean, what happened is going to be a theme for me each week when I break down what happened with this team. I might have the worst team in the league. I'd be shocked if I didn't come the end of the season, even though we'll try hard. But what happened? There's too many things to say what happened. I mean, it started at the draft and it's continuing on through week two. So this team is looking very, very rough right now.
Well, you definitely have an injury problem. I mean, Russell Wilson has looked bad the last 2 weeks, and I don't know if we can blame that all on his ankle. But you also have Adrian Peterson and Thomas Rawls, both who went down with some sort of leg injuries. That's not good. Brent Celek posting a big fat zero for you. That's obviously not going to help anybody.
Well, it's funny. Like, it's about as bad as you could expect your two running backs to be on a given week, even factoring in for injury. Like, the fact that they both stepped onto the field and played any snaps and had a combined 2 fantasy points is, I mean, you really just can't get worse unless, like, the guys got hit by a bus before the game started and I just didn't know. So it was just so brutal. I wasn't in love with either of these guys really to start the season, frankly, but it sort of became necessary evils. That being said, I wasn't so worried about them going into this matchup. And Rawls clearly is something, there's clearly an issue with him. Peterson has a torn meniscus, so he's likely out for a little while with no clear handcuff. So I'm a little bit worried there. The Celek thing, I had Zach Ertz, who was ruled out before the game started. So that was just picking someone up off the scrap heap and hoping for the best, and the worst happened. So it was just one of those weeks. I'm looking back at the score right here. You doubled me up, maybe, or
pretty close.
Me up. Yeah. Like, you just, your team. Yeah. You just have a strong team. So I'm dealing with an injury thing. My problem is the injuries are not likely to get better as the season goes on. So I'm a little bit worried about my team right now. I would say I'm a heavy favorite to finish in last place here.
You know, it's funny though, because I'm looking at the overall scores week by week, and I do end up having one of the higher scoring teams currently. But honestly, the scores are all right there. I mean, let's see here. John Sally of Pro Football Weekly managed only one more point than you did this past week.
The race to the bottom. Yeah.
So I mean, I wouldn't be too concerned at the present time, but you are 0-2.
Yeah.
And the two highest scoring teams are myself and, of course, the Williams sisters over at Her Fantasy Football. And they are the highest scoring team, which, you know, some people have said that was going to be. But let's talk a little bit more about your team and what perhaps needs to happen for you moving forward. And I would say, again, it kind of has to start with your quarterback there and Russell Wilson. Yeah. I don't think anyone expected the performance out of Russell Wilson that we've seen in weeks 1 and week 2 right now.
Now, he's looked really bad, and the team as a whole has looked really bad. He's clearly hurt, and he's playing hurt. And the hardest thing, you know, with doing football projections, just like all of our podcasts in this league do, or just, you know, prognosticating about football, is you try to take injury news and you try to figure out what the truth is. So I tend to sometimes err on the side of, well, if he's playing, the team thinks he can play, right? Because, like, short of that, like, you don't really have much other information. And so I tend to just trust it. And he just looked awful. And that whole game was awful, really. I'm sorry, it really just wasn't a fun game to watch. I think the final score was like 9-3. But I just don't know what to do with him. So there's a chance. Like, so for instance, Matt Ryan is on the waiver wire right now. I'm staring at it. If you're in my shoes, do you just straight up bench Wilson now and play a guy? I mean, Matt Ryan has the Saints this week, which is a pretty choice matchup. Mm-hmm. You think I snap? I know we're in the same league and we're competing, so it doesn't necessarily pay to give advice out. But But you're not nearly in the same situation I am with, like, you have Roethlisberger, so it's not like you're sitting Roethlisberger really at this point. So, I mean, what do you think? Like, is the Wilson for Ryan swap in the cards here? Is that the way you think I should go?
I mean, I think I might until Russell and that team can show they can pull it off. I mean, you're talking about the Miami Dolphins, and yeah, that defense looked pretty good in week one for the Dolphins, but they're not that great.
Right.
We just saw Jimmy Garoppolo, shred them to pieces before he got hurt. And then you're talking about the LA Rams of St. Louis, another team that, sure, they've got a decent defense, but do they have a defense good enough to shut them down to 3 points? I don't think so.
I mean, Blaine Gabbert looked okay against that team week one, and that's Blaine Gabbert and Curley, So like,
yeah.
So if those two guys can sort of look okay-ish, and Wilson comes out and looks like a total stain. I mean, one problem for him too, and it has to do with the injury, is he's not really running as much. And then he has a receiving core. Baldwin, this wasn't news before the game, but it comes out Baldwin's hurt. Rawls gets hurt, so they lose the pieces of the running game. They're just kind of a team they're just running so bad with injuries right now. And it might not even just be a Wilson problem. It might just be a full Seattle Seahawks problem, right? They just don't have the horses to keep up with him. While we were talking, I picked up Ryan, just so you...
I think the Matt Ryan swap is definitely something looking at. I mean, yeah, you'd hate to miss out on Wilson going off on the 49ers, but at this point, I don't think you can trust it. Week four, they're at the Jets. You're not going to play. I don't think you'd want to play Russell Wilson across the country against the Jets, who do have a legitimate defense. And then you have the bye week. And so I think after that bye week is when you bring Russell Wilson back. Now, the only problem for you, well, no, I don't know if Atlanta has the bye on week five, too. But Russell Wilson will face Atlanta in week six
The league is so shallow. I think there's only 10 teams.
It's a 10-team league.
So there's always just quarterbacks. I'm not so worried about just having a streaming quarterback issue. So I'm actually just fine with this move. That's why it's good to talk to other people about this stuff, so you can you can workshop some of these ideas just with someone else. And like I said, I'm 0-2, you're 2-0. I don't suspect we're competing when it really comes down to it. But yeah, it's just one of those things. Like, this is what makes season long so very difficult, is evaluating those. I mean, like, we talked about, I come more from the daily space, so it's a little easier. You don't have to really fade these. You don't have to project out like Russell Wilson week four. Like, I'm not really ever worrying about that in my day-to-day, comings and goings. But yeah, in the season long, it makes it extra tricky.
Now, you mentioned sort of the daily game, which is what more of your expertise comes in on. We have a couple of super fans that do sort of a daily fantasy advice show on Fridays. Last week, they were very high on the Giants. I imagine a lot of daily players were, mm-hmm. Sort of looking back at the Giants-Saints game from last year, and of course, looking at what the Saints did in week one. I think a lot of people thought, oh, this is going to be a great game to play all your Giants. Didn't turn out to be quite that way. Is this sort of a similar idea here with Matt Ryan? Is this one of the trends you're seeing already in the daily game? Like, hey, play your guys against the Saints?
Yeah, for sure. And I was among the crowd that played Eli and Beckham and even Rashad Jennings last week in not insignificant amount of contests on FanDuel and DraftKings. And, well, actually more on FanDuel, but it's funny about sports because, and you probably see this a lot too, is your eyes can fool you, and also stat lines can fool you at the end of the day, and it can make you think that something happened that didn't. So if you looked at that Giants game and you think, oh man, you know what, the Saints defense looked okay there, and maybe they kind of got it done against the Giants passing game. They didn't allow him in the end zone. But if you kind of watch the game, Beckham dropped a wide open touchdown. He had beat a guy on a go route and just dropped it at the 5 yard line. And, they run bad a little bit in the end zone. They had three fumbles on drives. And if you add all that stuff up, I take a lot of that stuff as just bad luck. And to me, 100%, the Saints are just still not a good defense. I think you see people loading up on the Falcons again this week. The Saints just aren't, that's carried over from last year. They just still don't have a secondary, and they still just can't really defend the pass to any point that really worries you. In fact, it really goes the other way. They're still well below average against the pass.
Now, last week I talked to Joel Hanard of the Fantasy Insiders about the evolution of the running back position in the NFL. Talking about in week one, there were only two running backs that made it over the 100-yard mark, which isn't even that great of a stat when you look at the number of attempts it might take to get over the 100-yard mark. This week, there were quite a few more. I'm really happy with the guy that I ended up picking a little bit later than everybody else, and I mentioned it during our draft podcast. Matt Forte was going to be the forgotten running back, and obviously I came out very happy with his performance this week, scoring 28 fantasy points on ESPN.com standard scoring. Is Matt Forte a guy that we should be watching here a little bit more closely, especially for daily games?
Definitely, because, right, so you said the evolution of the running back, so I'm sure what his point was, well, what was his point? Just that it's changed.
Just that it's starting to look a lot more like, you know, running back by committee is becoming the thing in the NFL.
It is, except for, so this is one thing we actually looked about, we looked into pretty hard for this week, because one thing we're only trying to figure out, and we're all, this is what we're all trying to do in this space, right? It's just identify trends and what is the truth behind sort of how teams are using players. And most teams are going that route where you just simply cannot trust the overall touches for a running back in a given game, except for really four guys. And it's D'Angelo Williams, it's Lamar Miller, it's Matt Forte, and it's LeGarrette Blount. And Blount, and two of them are about to change because D'Angelo Williams is going to get burned when Bell comes back. So that's going to be the end of his usage. And Blount, I suspect, gets dusted when Brady comes back as they just switch more to a passing game, because right now he's kind of in there just to placehold as part of their offense. And so you're left with guys, like the two guys are Miller and Forte. It wouldn't shock me for you. Forte was a guy our system loved going into this week against the Bills. And when I saw that you had him, I kind of knew I was in trouble because he's just such a high volume running back. And those just don't really exist anymore. And the Jets, they've just shown their hand. They said, this is what we're going to do. We're going to hand them the ball. And if we're not handing the ball, we're just going to pass them the ball too. And so you are in phenomenal shape. I think this is actually, when you're looking at the end of the season, he's probably, and if you are in the playoffs, which, you know, your team is pretty strong, especially with a couple of other slots that you have. You have another guy that's trending in the right way that I'm looking at that we can probably get to when we talk wide receivers. But Forte is going to be the guy because no one else is going to be able to replicate. I mean, assuming he doesn't get hurt or anything like that, but no one else is going to be able to replicate that kind of volume. His volume is insane. And you just don't see it from teams because most teams don't want to run their guy into the ground.
All right. Now you have me, you have my attention when you mentioned receivers trending in the right direction, because I mean, Dez Bryant scored a 0 week one, only scored 10 here in week two. Brandon Cooks did quite all right for me in week one, but had a fairly quiet week two. So which wide receiver do you have your eyes on here?
Not Dez, because I know the point total overall wasn't great, but in general, it was pretty clear, I think at least, that so Dez is funny, right? Because he's kind of psychotic. So you never understand where, well, psychotic like in a competitive way, but maybe in a real life way too. but it's never clear about a team about what their plans are when it comes to guys like this, because they went into the first week and Witten got all the touches, but then Dez, I think, pretty much came out and said, I'm not happy. And then all of a sudden he had 12 targets last game. And it was pretty clear that Dak was just kind of forcing him the ball at times, like especially in the first drive. So that actually in the first drive, I was totally convinced of this, because the first drive for teams are usually scripted like during the week. You know, this is what we're going to do when we go out in the first drive. And I think Dez had like 3 targets on that first drive, which means the talk on the team was, we need to just get him the ball so we don't kind of lose him mentally. And he's just like a tier one talent too. So those 12 targets for him, I think that's the number you continue to see as he and Dak get more comfortable and as they just realize they need to throw him. He's like, if you were able to just stay the course after that week one, which I'm sure were you really worried after like that week one with one catch, 8 yards?
No, I wasn't really worried. Yeah. It's Dez Bryant.
Right. But I think what you see is he just ends up still maintaining that 10 target per game kind of guy, which is what he is. And Dak's a pretty accurate passer. So I love Dez going forward. I think you pretty much have a tier one wide receiver and maybe like a tier number one overall running back.
I like hearing that. All right. So moving forward in the Blog Talk Radio Fantasy Expert League, I will be facing Jay over at Razzball, battle of 2-0 teams. This one's got me slightly concerned here as I take a quick look here at his roster. Yeah, Philip Rivers has looked pretty strong here in the early going. David Johnson, obviously another one of those top tier running back guys. He's got a fairly solid wide receiving core in Amari Cooper, Randall Cobb, and Eric Decker playing him at the flex. So I do have some concerns going into this week.
Yeah, I'd be worried about it. I'd be worried about Rivers, especially. Shown that they're just going to keep passing too. So even without Allen and Woodhead, so he's got a pretty strong team. I get so jealous when I look at these other teams. I'm like, man, these guys all did something right during the draft. What was I doing here?
You are facing Matt Chatham of Football by Football. He has a lot of hopes riding on Blake Bortles, hoping that he can rebound off of what was just a horrible game and one that I thought the Jaguars had a chance to pull off an upset, and instead ended up doing nothing but junk. And that one, he also has two running backs that are questionable and doubtful in Doug Martin and Jonathan Stewart. So it's going to be the battle of the non-running back teams.
Yeah, he's going to have to make some moves before this week starts because he has Hopkins and Martin, but does not have either of their backups. So, I mean, I'm not going to like swoop in and grab either of those guys because I just don't really operate that way. But like Whitaker and Sims. Whitaker especially probably has a chance to be pretty good if they're willing to give him the ball like 15 times. I'm not sure so much about Sims. That's not as good of a matchup. And really, actually, against Carolina versus Minnesota is not a fantastic matchup either. But even I looked down his team, Hopkins, Marvin Jones, Jordan Reed, Willie Snead, that's a pretty strong wide receiver core. I don't really like Bortles. I think you can probably do better than him, really, with a couple guys that are just on the waiver wire right now. But
He's got Aaron Rodgers on his bench.
Oh, there you go. I take that back. So never mind. Now I'm probably dusted. I take it back. Unless he forgets to just change these running backs out. But the fact that he's swapping in and out Rodgers based on matchup doesn't make me think that's going to happen for him. So I'm a pretty big dog going into this matchup.
That's pretty gutsy too by Matt Chatham. Now, I will say, I think Chatham mentioned last year that he had never really played fantasy football before last year. But to switch out Rodgers for Bortles based on the matchup, that was a gutsy move on his part. It paid off. He ended up winning last week.
Yeah, that actually strikes me as a move that is someone that's probably paying attention to. That's one thing. It's so funny because that's something. I mean, how long have you been playing fantasy football? I'm assuming it's got to be decades, right? Back to the ESPN.
I have no idea.
Yeah. Right. So you never really had a way in the past. In the past, it would be where if you were playing fantasy football, you would kind of look at people's cheat sheets and see how they ranked players. And you would see how, you know, I have this guy ranked as my number one receiver and all the way down. But now you have so many projection outfits that will just give you the actual numbers that guys are projected for. And I don't know, it's just easier to make decisions in some ways than it used to be because you can just look at sort of, you know, this number versus this number. I have Bortles more just projected for just straight up more points than Aaron Rodgers. And it might make sense in this given week. So it's funny about how even the evolution of, I think the daily game has actually pushed the evolution of the season long game too, because you just make better decisions along the margins that you might not have been doing before because you never would have benched Aaron Rodgers in the past, I don't think. but now you're considering it and maybe it's correct.
Yeah, it's a gutsy move. The one thing you got going for him is I know Matt, being a former Patriot, is also a Patriot homer. He's got the Texans D. He also has a lot of Patriots on his team. He's in a tough spot this week. But at the same time, I also know he's pretty dialed into the New England Patriots, so I have a pretty good idea he knows what their game plan is going to be this week.
Maybe he'll start Jacoby Brissett if that's who's going to be starting. I wouldn't mind seeing that from him.
Maybe. Doug, where can people find you?
Yeah, dailyfantasysportsrankings.com. It's a mouthful, or you can just type in DFSR for short and head on over there. We hit up the daily game as much as we can, try to give advice there. So yeah, that's where all of our thoughts on football can be found pretty much.
And can they reach you on Twitter?
Oh yeah, at dailyfantasysr, the two initials at the end. So daily fantasy and then SR. Yep, I was going to call it some catchy way to remember that, but I realized I didn't have one. So daily fantasy SR.
Awesome. Well, Doug, good luck to you for the rest of the season. I don't think you have the worst team in the league. I just think you've run into the injury bug early here, and you do have some digging to do, but I think you'll be fine in the long run.
Yeah, man. Good luck. Good luck holding the trophy because I feel like you're going to be one of the guys there at the end, but I, you know, football is a long season. Who knows with these things, but right now really good as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thanks, Doug. Talk to you soon.
Jay, thanks a lot.
One last item here on the Next Fan Up podcast, and that is the Thursday preview. It is the Houston Texans at the New England Patriots. Here are super fans James and Patrick to break down that game.
All right. Well, Patrick, I know we are both exactly where we expected to be after 2 weeks. Two undefeated teams facing off on Thursday night football to make up for the atrocity that was the Jets and Bills last week. I don't think spectacular quarterback play will necessarily be a hallmark of this game. Getting into that, what are the Pats going to do at quarterback this week?
That is a huge mystery, James. The plan was, you know, as of a few weeks ago, hell, as of like last week, the plan was to roll through the first four games with Jimmy Garoppolo, see how that panned out. And it was looking pretty promising, you know, before rolling into Tom Brady for the remainder of the year, presumably. That's assuming, you know, a trade of the elder Brady, wasn't a indirect result of the excellent performance of Jimmy Garoppolo. So with his sprained AC joint, thanks to Kiko Alonso, and thanks in part to our substandard offensive line, you know, that seems to be out the window, but who knows? You're never going to find out from Bill Belichick who his starting quarterback is if he can avoid telling you. So it could be Jimmy Garoppolo because the injury isn't as bad as everybody thought. And it's really just about pain management, and there's no structural damage. So you give him a shot in the arm, and you know maybe he can go out there and play. You know, or it could be Jacoby Brissett, who's a third round rookie draft pick, who has not gotten a lot of reps in camp, like not at all, as they've been third string quarterbacks, he's not getting a lot of reps anyway. But also because they were trying to prime, you know, Jimmy G with extra reps, getting him prepped for the first four games. They've really not given this guy a long look, by all accounts in camp. So hopefully he's just a gamer and can go in there and learn the playbook real fast and be on the same page with the receivers. That is not likely the case, because the Patriots offensive scheme is predicated on sight adjustments and timing routes, which you don't just roll out of bed and do. Requires.
And on top of that, you already had a little bit, you had basically a half to see what Jacoby could do. Granted, he wasn't getting a whole bunch of prep time, getting thrown into that game, but it's not like with the game being on Thursday, he's going to have a lot of time to adjust to the playbook. And you know, that kind of also rules out the argument of signing a street free agent as well. Like TJ Yates, or I think Sanchez got picked up by somebody, but you know, just bringing in anybody who's had a few more reps to try and get them up to speed by Thursday seems to be kind of a fool's errand.
The best you could do is go and get like Ricky Stanzi or some guy that has been in a comparable system, that at least knows the terminology and can come in and pick up the playbook. But yeah, you're right. Doing that for a week is stupid. Especially like it's going to cost you a roster spot. Like you're not really going to gain anything in the quarterback position in a backup, you know, and have to give up, you know, let's say a rotational defensive tackle who would actually play in order to have that guy on your team. Like it's really not a wise move, doubly because as you mentioned, it's a Thursday game. So coming off a Sunday game into a Thursday game, that means no real time on the field. That's all classroom time. So when it comes to the structure of the week, when it comes to getting reps with your quarterback and your receivers, that's not going to happen this week, right? So you really, really just got to trust in athleticism and the ability to pick up on the playbook and hope the timing stuff works itself out on the field.
I mean, the only advantage to bringing somebody in this week would be if the AC joint sprain was really bad, would necessitate like a spot on that IR designated to return. and you literally just need a guy for when Tom Brady comes back in a couple weeks, it's a little different than like the Dallas situation where they don't know when Romo's coming back, and they had, like, if Dak would get hurt right now, that would be a much more fluid situation. You'd have to almost put Romo on the IR designated to return at that point and get somebody back, because it's not – yeah, there's not just a black and white date of you will get your starting quarterback on this day.
Honestly, James, I think the only thing dumber that we could do than bring in like some free agent quarterback for a game that's happening right away would be to trade a first and a fourth for some journeyman jag to come in and do it.
I mean, you would have to do like a conditional fourth, I feel. But, you know.
Would that be marginally less stupid?
Well, it depends if the conditional can go up or down. But yeah, it's really not a great idea, I don't think. But
probably not.
Yeah. But no, so that leaves you. Okay, so it's possibly Jacoby Brissett, maybe Jimmy Garoppolo, who knows, maybe even Julian Edelman, who's your guys' emergency quarterback. I mean, that with all of that, how do you feel you still have like an offensive advantage versus you know, what the Texans have now that they are trotting out Brock Osweiler, Lamar Miller, and obviously a number one wide receiver in DeAndre Hopkins, and what's looking to be, you know, quite a good pair of receivers with Hopkins and Will Fuller.
Well, I mean, I would say that, you know, your offensive, you know, firepower isn't going up against Jacoby Brissett. It's going up against our starting defense, who's, you know, reasonably healthy and pretty good. Except that when Jimmy Garoppolo went out of that game against Miami, for some reason our defense fell apart. So there's that. And I am concerned about your outside weapons. You know, I am, because they're good. And they, by pedigree, run sort of the same system that the Patriots run, right? O'Brien made his way down there from New England indirectly. So I assume I'm going to see an offense that's pretty similar to ours. And as much as I like my defense, and I really do, I am concerned about them giving up a lot of points and then our offense not being able to counterpunch. So yeah, I'm more concerned about the Texans game certainly now than I was this time last week. And honestly, like it was never really a gimme win in the first place.
I'm kind of more optimistic towards this game, or I guess I should be very much more optimistic towards this game with the news of Jimmy Garoppolo, not that you wish injury upon anybody. And then just how we played against Kansas City. My biggest concern for this game is that Brock still makes a lot of errors, especially down in the red zone. The team as a whole seems to be making quite a few, like they just seem to be taking one or two plays off every drive. And if there's a team in the league that's going to do a better job of taking advantage of that, maybe the Cardinals do. But it, you know, Patriots are right up there as one of the top teams to take advantage of these little mental lapses. And so that still has me with a little bit of pause. Now we are going to get, or we may get our offensive lineman back, Dwayne Brown, who's missed the entire season so far. I think he was still projected to be out until about week four. Our offensive line has come together. Your guys' offensive line, on the other hand, has not been Seattle-esque, but it was definitely a contributing factor to the Garoppolo injury.
Yeah, I mean, our offensive line is certainly subpar. There's no doubt about that. And Kiko Alonso, Pride of Newton, Massachusetts, was just roaring all over the backfield last week. I'm really concerned that keeps happening. Garoppolo's getting the ball out of his hands in 2 seconds, which definitely mitigates that problem, but doesn't eliminate it, which you can tell from a separated AC joint, right? And is Brissett going to be able to do the same? I sincerely doubt it, right? Because he's not going to be able to get rid of that ball in 2 seconds. He's going to get hit pretty hard.
Now, do you think Gronk is going to be back in time for Thursday, or do you think Belichick is going to basically approach this and say he was expecting to get 2, maybe 3 wins out of this first 4? He's already got the 2 in the bank. let's not necessarily punt this game, but let's go out there and not get anybody else injured or not push anybody who's not 100%.
Part of not getting anybody else injured might mean putting Gronk on the line to block.
That is a very fair point. So what do you put him at? Maybe 50-50 to play or closer to, you know, 75-25 to play?
I mean, well, I have no idea what the actual state of his hamstring is, but if it's in decent shape, then I would say he's probably going to play a portion of the snaps. Let's say they put him out there 60% of the time, or maybe less, and try and wean him back in. You know, put him in obvious passing downs and try and, like I said, even to block, put him out there as a decoy, as an outlet receiver. But I don't think you're going to see him running seam routes all day long, regardless, even regardless of who the quarterback was, because of his busted up hamstring.
All right. Well, what's your prediction? What's your prediction for this game?
I'll go Pats 31, Texans 27.
And so how many of those are coming off of like pick sixes or like turnover back for touchdowns? All of them?
All of them, James. I feel like this is going to turn into like a sloppy shootout. Like I just do.
You're running the Texans offense from the past couple of years of God, I hope the defense can put 14 on the board.
yeah, maybe.
Well, it's one of the, I don't recall a time where I've ever seen the Patriots getting points at home. Granted, they're only getting 1 point at home. As I said last week when some people were debating if they wanted to take Miami with the points over the Patriots, people have not gotten rich betting against Bill Belichick and the Patriots. The short week, coupled with the injuries and my unbridled optimism at a 2-0 start, I'm hoping for a little bit lower scoring of a game just because I don't think we can put 27 or 30 points on the Patriots, even in their dilapidated state. So I'm going to go a little safe and say we'll go 24 for the Texans and then 17 for the Pats.
Can't call you crazy.
Well, I still have my first round pick next year.
Don't be a jerk about it.
So there you go. It's a super fan battle of the ages. Jacoby Brissett, I fully expect to see Jacoby Brissett playing in this game as the starter. I do not expect to see, the oh-so-great Jimmy Garoppolo, who clearly is the second coming of Brady. He looked so fantastic last week before the injury. It's really a shame to see that sort of thing happen. And now you got to wonder, I mean, that's the sort of injury that, you know, we've seen plague Tony Romo for many years. I do worry. I am a little concerned now that that might be something that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have to deal with moving forward. And maybe, just maybe, I'm going to have to talk to a fantasy expert more about this sprained AC joint situation. In terms of the game, I do not like the Patriots' chances in this game. I didn't like their chances really with Jimmy Garoppolo either. Now, the fact that the game is at home, it's a short week. If the Patriots are to win this game, it is going to be by a very close margin. I cannot see them winning by a lot, and I don't see this as being a very high-scoring game. With all of that, I am going to pick the Houston Texans. It's not often that I pick against my Patriots, but this week I will. The Patriots somehow are favored by a half point. That was the opening line. I can't believe that that is still the line at this point. I'm taking the Texans, and I'm not concerned about the point spread there. Unless, of course, it's greater than 3, because that would be ridiculous. I'd see this as being a very low-scoring, very tight game. A defensive battle, if you will, between the Texans and the Patriots. All right. Hey, if you don't know already, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Please do so. Share it with a friend. Leave us a review. We love reviews on our podcast because I will read them on this particular show, just as I will read your email if you send it to nextfanup@gmail.com. If you tweet us at NFU Podcast, we'd love to have some interaction with our fans. And of course, you can always check out our previews on our Facebook page, facebook.com/NFU podcast. We'd love to interact with you on Facebook as well. If you got a, I know you're disagreeing with some of the things our super fans are saying. So please disagree, bring them up, and we'll talk about it here on the show. All right. Previews are coming up on Thursday. I'll be joined by a whole bunch of super fans, and we'll have a whole bunch of super fan battles waiting for you. Talk to you then. Until then, here is the head coach of the LA Rams of St. Louis. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, this game is four quarters long.